your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, welcome you. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, welcome. Come have your way among us. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
The fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not a banana. The fruit of the Spirit is not a banana. You want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not a watermelon. The fruit of the Spirit is not a watermelon. If you want to be a watermelon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not a lemon. The fruit of the Spirit is not a lemon. You want to be a lemon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not a cherry. The fruit of the Spirit is not a cherry. If you want to be a cherry, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
join our hearts together for prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have today to gather in your presence, Father. Even in a way such as this, we're thankful, Lord, that we can gather together and we can sense and we can feel your presence. And we can worship you today for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives. We just ask, God, that you would use this service today to minister to those who will be listening online. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our hearts. We pray that we would sense your presence. We pray, Lord, that you would do a work in our lives that only you can do. We pray, Father, that in these next moments, that all distractions and all frustrations and all worries and the stresses of life would be taken away, and we would just focus our attention upon you, and we would give you the glory and the honor that you deserve today, God, because you are worthy, and Lord, because you've done so much for us, and you've blessed us in so many ways. You've saved us. You've given us hope. You've given us eternal life. And you've been with us through every step of our journey. And today, Father, you are worthy of our praise and our worship. And so, Lord, and may our the attention of our hearts be solely upon you today. And may you receive the glory that is due your name. So, Father, have your way and use us for your glory. We ask these things in your name. And everyone said, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. And we want to welcome you. Thank you for joining with us. If you're tuning in and you just want to take a moment to share our service to your Facebook page, perhaps there's someone out there that is looking for our service and may have trouble finding it, so would you take a moment just to share our service even now? And that may be the way someone else finds us today. And so we want to thank you for tuning in, and we trust that you will enjoy this service, but most importantly, we trust that you would sense and feel God's presence, that he would minister to you in a real way through his Holy Spirit as we worship him today. We want to thank those who are making this service possible today. We want to thank Krista Noble, who's going to be leading us in worship. Jamie Bingo's on the bass and Stephen Sims on the drums. And, of course, Jason Schroeder back in the sound room there. We want to thank them for helping us today and for making this possible. And without them, this would just would not happen. So we're so grateful that they would come, even in this season, to do the work of the kingdom. And so Krista's going to lead us in worship at this time. And so I invite you in your home to lift your hands, sing along, invite the presence of God. We were here practicing, and even in the first song, we sense God's presence even here in this building. And so we pray and trust that you will feel the same as you enter in and allow the Lord to minister in your life today. So Krista's going to lead us now at this time.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake, you died.
lost, but now
was blind, but now I see. When my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has rest on me. And let the blood, His mercy reigns on and on. Amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. Your amazing grace. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart. And lead me in your love to those around me. You're worthy of every song we could ever sing. You're worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh. Jesus, the name above every other name. Hallelujah. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show. Who you are and fill me with your heart. certainly sense God's presence here this morning. And I just want to encourage you, if you're in your living rooms or sipping on your coffee, I just encourage you for a moment just to stop what you're doing. Just lift your hands to heaven as we sing this out to Him this morning. Let His presence fill your heart. Let His presence fill your home, fill your car, however you're listening right now.
And I will. Depend on you.
the desperate mom who needs something, who needs something to cling on to. And I see the dad who's searching. And I see the young person who's desperate. Let me tell you this morning that in my life, I've proven my God. I've proven my Savior to be faithful. And in my times of desperation, in my times of pain, in my moments of searching, I call out to God again and again and again. And He's always been faithful. He's always been my strong tower, my safe place, my peace in the midst of the storm. If that's you this morning, if you don't have a relationship with God, or if you want to know Him more, just call out to Him. Call out to the solid rock this morning. In times of trouble, you lift me.
This time we're going to go to God in prayer. And what a beautiful song to lead us into this time of prayer, because God is indeed faithful. It doesn't matter where you find yourself today. It doesn't matter what situation you may be in today. And God is still faithful. God is always faithful. And God will always come to us when we cry out to Him in prayer. And it's in these moments that we want to take time to bring our needs to God in prayer, both personally and those that may be around us. And we are remembering many needs today. And I'm asking that you that are in your home, that you would join along with me and agree with me as we pray this morning that God would indeed minister and move in these situations. And maybe you're listening today and you have a need in your life. I want to assure you that God knows where you are, and God is well able. And for the word of God says that our God is exceedingly able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. And so today, while your situation, your need may seem impossible, I want you to know this morning that there is no situation, there is no need that's impossible for God to meet and to intervene in. And so if you're listening today and you have a need, why don't you put your trust and your faith and confidence in God today and believe that the Lord is able to meet that need this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather in your presence. And I thank you, Lord, for every individual that's listening today or will listen in the future. And I pray, Father, right now, that by your Spirit you would minister to them in a real way. We pray, Father, that they would sense your presence even now. We pray, God, that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them. Lord, that those that are downcast in these moments, Father, that you would just lift them up from their pit of despair right now. Father, we pray that you would just manifest yourself, Lord, wherever they are right now, that they would just know, God, that you are with them, that you have not left them, you have not abandoned them, Lord, at all. Lord, you are right there beside them. And so, Father, we just want you to lay your hand upon your people right now. Lord, bless them in a real way. Father, we pray for those this morning that may be battling with a sickness or disease, Lord. Father, we stand upon your word because your word reveals to us who you are and how we can trust in you. And Lord, your word says that, you know, the price of our salvation was paid at the cross. But Lord, not only was the price of our salvation paid, but so was the price of our healing. For your word says that by your stripes we are healed. And Lord, I pray for that person right now who's listening, Lord, and they need a miracle in their body. They need a healing. I pray right now, Father, that you would touch them. And God, that you would heal them, Lord, of every bit of sickness that's in their life right now. And I pray, God, that you would raise them up for your glory. And that, Lord, it will be a testimony of your goodness and faithfulness, Lord, to this generation. And we pray, God, for those that have restoration needs, Lord. We pray, God, that you would bring restoration to them, Lord. Lord, those whose lives may feel like it's in a million pieces, broken beyond repair. And we pray, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, you are the one who is able to pick up the broken pieces and put it all together, back together again. And so, God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would move in that person's life and that you would begin to reassemble, reconfigure the life, Lord, that seems to be broken. And that, God, that you would do in their lives what seems to be impossible, oh God. And we pray, Father, for those today who may be listening and they may be down and discouraged. They may be overwhelmed with anxiety. Lord, we pray that today your Spirit would rest upon them. For Lord, your word says that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. We pray, Father, for sound minds right now. We pray, Father, for that one that may be listening today who don't know you as their Savior. We pray, Father, that you would speak into their lives in a real way and that today their eyes will be open to see, oh Father, their need of you. And may you give them the courage and the strength, Lord, to reach out to you today and to begin that personal relationship with you. Bless all your people today, Father, in a real way. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, just for a few moments, Father, we ask that our hearts will be open, Father, to receive what you want to speak into our lives today. I pray, God, that we would take your word and wouldn't just hear it and say that's a nice message, but God, we would take it and we would apply it to our lives, that we would take the truth and that truth would transform us. Lord, be with Pastor Grant today, Father, as he delivers what you've laid upon his heart. I pray, God, that you would give him strength. Lord, that you would anoint him. And I pray, God, that you would just enable him to deliver that which you want to be shared today. Father, we just commit the rest of the service into your hands. We ask that you would have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jared. Thank you, worship team, for leading this morning, doing such a fabulous job. We're looking into the Word of God this morning. We are looking into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 21. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, or if you have your phone, tablet, whatever the case may be this morning, to look up the Word of God, please get that now. And we are going to look into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 21. It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of God." And read a scripture, Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, just one verse, which says, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The title of the message this morning is, "Make the Best of It." Make the best of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word, for your word is alive and true. We thank you for it. May it go forth in power and authority this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the leading authors of our time, Francis Chan, illustrates to a congregation of what eternity looks like by using a piece of rope. He takes a piece of rope, like the one I have in my hand this morning, and shows a piece of tape on the end of the rope and signifies here, this is our life on earth. This little bit of red tape, he says, signifies our life here on earth. And he goes on to say how much time we put into living this life here on earth. Chan talks about how much we work, how much we play, how much we save to reach retirement, and all the money that we save, thousands of dollars to retire, to live a few good 20 years or so, and we put so much work into it. But he shows us on this piece of rope, this piece of tape, just how long life here is on earth compared to eternity. Chan shows us that the taped off path is a piece of rope which signifies life and our life, and then shows the rest of it. The rest of the rope is eternity today. It is the image of eternity today. Today we are all guilty of focusing so much wasted time and effort on this little piece, when this piece of time means nothing in the light of eternity. Eternity is long. Therefore, we must make the best of this life. We cannot waste this part of our life. You might be thinking, but Pastor, we are in a pandemic. We are in a different day. How can we make the best of this isolation, this lockdown, this period that we find ourselves in? I tell you today that God is not on lockdown. God is on His throne. He's looking for men and women to make the best of the situations that they find themselves in by focusing their times and efforts on Him. When we get our focus off the world around us and on what really matters, and that is souls for the kingdom, we will soon realize that this lockdown is nothing that our God cannot handle. He saw this coming long before we did. And I am resting on His word and on His promises today that as He says, He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the responsibility to make the best of this dark and hopeless situation that we are in. We can huddle up in the corner on our house and keep dwelling on what we cannot do. We can get down on our knees and ask God what He wants us to do. Trust me, when we begin talking to God and asking God to give us opportunities to be a witness, to be a light in this dark situation, God will open doorways. He will make paths that will be in line with what we are allowed to do. God is not governed by our government. Instead, God is the overseer of our government. And the scripture asks us to pray for those in leadership. And we will do that today. And we will also find ways in this lockdown to be the light and to be the love of Jesus. As believers this morning, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to give God praise for. And this situation, it may be tough on times, but if we trust in the Lord and if we continue to look for His wisdom in this day that we are in, we will be able to abound in COVID-19. The key to us getting out of the rut is to make the best of the situation we find ourselves in by asking God to direct us in how to witness for Him. We must understand that in Paul's day, the believers in that day were bombarded with all sorts of false doctrine and idolatry. The temple of Diana was there. The influence of the Roman culture was very prevalent in that day. There were Jews who sought to corrupt the gospel with the legalities and rituals of the law. They refused to accept a relationship with God based on grace alone, apart from works of man. You see, the believers of that time were faced with a really bad situation, but Paul was calling on them to set themselves apart, to look to God for their help, to look to God for their strength. He was calling on them to be people who walked in love, people who walked in the light, people who walked in the wisdom of the Lord. This morning, I believe that Paul instructed the people of Ephesians to do this, and he is also instructing us this morning. We are called to be people of love, people of light, and people of wisdom. First of all, we are called to be people of love. If there is anything that we should be known for, is to be known as people of love. Love is the essence of the gospel. God sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for mankind. Paul, writing to the people, asked them to not just preach about love, to not just talk about love, but to be imitators of God and His love. Dear children, he says, growing up, many of us wanted to be like our parents, like our mom or dad. We wanted to do what they did. We wanted to act the way they acted. For some of us this morning, we are doing it even, we don't even knowingly know that we do it. We mimic our parents. I catch myself mimicking my dad and his actions. We learn from our parents, and they instill in us how to do certain things and how to respond to situations. And sometimes unknowingly, we do it. But Paul is asking the church to take on the mindset of Christ, to imitate what God would do in the situation. We have the example of Christ to go by. We are all working and walking to become more like Christ every day. No one has yet to become perfect. The moment you say you are perfect is the moment that you need to be humbled. As believers, we are to be set apart. If you're here this morning, I would ask you to agree with me by saying amen. If you believe that we are supposed to be set apart, we are people that should be known as separate from the world. We are not of this world. Too many today find it hard to separate an unbeliever by a believer. One time it was easy, but today it is getting harder to separate. There are certain things that we must avoid if we want to walk with the Lord. In verse 3 and 4, we are told that there are six sins that we must avoid. These sins are to be avoided by the people of God. These sins marked the world in that day when Paul was preaching, and they are still marked the world in our day. Number one, it says fornication. Sexual immorality should not be a part of this life of a saint of God. And we are sexual beings, and we all face temptations in the area of life. We must be careful that the temptations are not allowed to become a reality. The ancient world regarded sexual immorality so lightly that it was no sin at all. It was the expected thing that a man should have a mistress. One does not have to look very far in our world to see how far our world today has gone when it comes to fornication. Number two, it says uncleanness. This word speaks of corruption and rottenness. It refers to impure motives and living. It speaks of moral corruption. It is an impure lifestyle that dishonors God, disregards His word, and disrespects His commandments. The third thing they say is covetousness. This word refers to greed and lust. It is a desire to possess that which belongs to another. Fourthly, it says filthiness. This word speaks of obscenity, crudeness, that which is shameful. It speaks of those things that are dirty in nature. Listen to conversations, watch TV, view movies on Netflix, scroll through social media apps such as TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, and you will often see filthiness in action. I encourage my young people that they should set up safeguards on these apps. And I want all parents to know that you have the right to guard your child or your young person in what they are viewing. Number five, it says foolish talking. The Greek word is morologia, and it means moronic words. It speaks of silly speech. It speaks to us about the use of obscenities and crude words in our day-to-day speech. There is never an excuse for a Christian to curse or swear. Reading Jim Cimbala's book, Storm, he talks of how a certain pastor in the States would use the F word in his preaching to relate to those that were not saved. There is no reason for any church, any believer to swear. Number six, jesting. This word refers to speech that falls into the same realm as foolish talking. But this word carries the idea of turning. So it speaks of the kind of wit or talk that takes something that is said or done, no matter how innocent it is, and turns it into something obscene and suggestive. It refers to those who twist everything into something dirty or into a sexual innuendo. To be people of love, we need to be people who abstain from these things that Paul is telling the church. When the Lord saved us, He did so with a purpose this morning. Romans 8 and 29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." God's purpose in redemption is to make us more like Him. Matthew 5 and 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." To be conformed to the image of Christ is to become holy like God who is holy. 1 Peter 1, 14, 16 says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That is God's plan for each one of his redeemed children today. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Ultimately today, that is how we will become. This world does not need more of itself. This world needs more Christians that are going to stand up and stand out. Only those that stand out will be noticed. In this pandemic we are in, it is better for Christians to abstain from hate and focus on loving those around us. Child of God, we have a responsibility to show the love of Jesus to all, no matter who they are. We are not called to be people of hate. We are called to walk in the love of God. If anything, Newfoundland needs more Christians who are filled with the love of Jesus. If we want to make the best of this situation, we need to follow Jesus' footsteps and start loving on others, no matter who they are. If we want to make the best of it in this life, then I strongly urge you, brothers and sisters, to examine our hearts, see if there be any wicked way in us, and to learn to be lovers of God and not the things of this world. We look like God the most when we give him our absolute best. What you are is God's gift to you. What you make of yourself is your gift to God. Let us make the best of every situation by learning to love as God loves. Secondly, this morning, we need to be people of light, not a lover of the physical darkness. I do not enjoy the dark. I don't enjoy going out at night, walking in the dark. When I worked as a janitor at First Pentecostal Church in Cornerbrook during my college days, if I were cleaning the church at night, every light would be on in the building. If you drove by the church at 12 a.m. and seen the lights were on, you knew that I was cleaning. My own shadow frightens me at night, so I can say for sure that I do not like being in the dark. I would not have to do much convincing to convince you that we are living in a spiritually dark world. There is no denying the reality of our world, that it is a dark place. We cannot deny our past. We all lived in darkness. We were once darkness. This means that we were lost in darkness of sin, depravity, and we were blinded by the god of this world. We lived like every other lost person, and we enjoyed it. The sins of verse 4 to 5 were who we were and what we did. We were enslaved to sin. We knew nothing else. We wanted nothing else. We were lost in the dark and headed to hell. We lived like the lost people we were. So what changed? For those listening that want to know what the difference between light and darkness is, the difference is Jesus. When we met Jesus, Jesus enlightened us to the truth of the gospel, and he showed us that we were sinful humans that needed his saving grace. We accepted his grace, and because of that, we are now the children of light. We have come out of the darkness and are now living with the light of Jesus shining bright in our lives. Are you thankful for what Jesus did for you today? Are you glad that he brought you out of darkness and he put you on the path of light? We are light in the Lord. When the Lord saved us, he delivered us from darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of our God, of our dear Son. When the darkness had translated us into the kingdom of the dear Son, when the Lord delivered us from darkness, he set us free from the power of sin. He has changed and made us children of light. Since we have been changed, we are to walk in the light and no longer in the darkness that once characterized who we were. What does light do? Light produces good fruit. Here are some of the products of light There's goodness, righteousness, and truth. Light exposes motives. Light enables the Christian to discriminate between what is pleasing and what is not pleasing. Light exposes evil. Light exposes the unfruitful works of darkness. Light cleanses and exposes. The light cannot compromise with the darkness. It can only expose it. Our world does not need more darkness. Our world needs more people who are of the light. It is our duty as believers to bring the light of Jesus wherever we go. The light lives inside of us, but unless we share it and let it shine, we will do nothing for our community. It is amazing what light can do to a dark room or a dark area. Light penetrates the darkness. If natural light can rid of darkness, how much more can our spiritual light penetrate the spiritual darkness of the world that we find ourselves in? Believers, it is a time to let our light shine so that men and women can know that Jesus changes lives. If Jesus changed your life this morning, why don't you type amen in the comments so that anyone listening who may not have accepted Jesus will know that the light of Jesus has shone on our souls and we have become enlightened by the gospel and we now know we need Jesus to live. Verses 9 and 10 deal with the reality of our spiritual walk. If we are truly saved and walking in the light, it will be clear from the life we live. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is seen in three ways. It is seen, number one, in goodness. This word refers to uprightness of heart and life. It speaks of godliness in motives, thoughts, and actions. It is the quality of godlikeness. This has also to do with our treatment of others. When we practice goodness, we are walking in the love and the light to those around us. We are being godlike toward them as we treat them like God would treat us. Number two, it is seen in righteousness. This word refers to our standing before the Lord. When He saved us, God declared us righteous. He took away all our guilt, imputed the righteousness of Christ in us, and made us holy in His sight. Righteousness is seen in our lives when we live out the reality of who we are and what we have been made to be in Christ Jesus. It speaks of a godliness that makes a life as being different and belonging to the Lord. Number three, it is seen in truth. This word has to do with honesty, reliability, and trustworthiness. When this quality is seen in the life of a believer, it stands in stark contrast to the hypocritical, deceptive, and false ways of this world. If we genuinely want to make a difference where we are, we need to be people of integrity. We need to walk close to the Lord so that we do not fall into the ways of darkness. In a day of darkness, we need to be shining brighter than ever before. And you know what? It will not take much light to dispel the darkness around you. Our world is so dark. Any little thing that you do for Christ will be seen. As simple as being kind, as simple as being honest in your workplace, as simple as being a true friend that is always there, as simple as bringing a meal to a sick neighbor, as simple as paying for coffee at a Tim Hortons drive-thru, as simple as meeting the need of a single mom, as simple as opening the door for people, and as simple as showing love on those around you, especially your family. We are living in such an evil day that any good we can do, we must do. And what we do now will count for eternity. Remember to make the best of this dark world and allow the light of Jesus to shine bright wherever you go. Make the best of this life, for you only get one shot at it. I would rather be known for shining my light bright than hiding it under a bushel. Make the best of the day that you're in and be the light of Jesus today. Thirdly and lastly, we need to be people of wisdom. Paul's general appeal finishes with an exhortation to his converts to live like wise men. The times in which they are living are evil. They must rescue as much time as they can from the evil uses of this world. The word circumspectly means to walk carefully. It means to be diligent and intelligent and to walk accurately. We must understand the times that we are in. The scripture I read from Matthew this morning warns us of the hour that we are in. We are in the last days. And while we as Christians know that, the sinner does not know it. And although he sees the world and its darkness, the sinner needs to know that there is a rapture coming and that Jesus is coming soon. Church, we need to be reminded of the time we are in. The day is getting late. Jesus could return before I finish preaching this message today. Therefore, the hour is late. And what we must do for Jesus, we must do quickly. The Apostle Paul goes on to talk about redeeming the time. The word redeeming in this context refers to purchasing of time. If I were to poll you this morning and ask how much time we waste throughout the day, I guarantee you that the polls for wasted time would be much higher than polls for not wasting time. If you were to check your phone today, there's a setting on that phone that tells you how much screen time you use. I checked it one day, and it frightened me to know just how much time I waste mindlessly scrolling through social media apps such as Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook. The Apostle Paul is warning the people to not waste time. Instead, he is encouraging to redeem the time. Remember, we only have a short time on this earth. Eternity is long. We need to purchase the time. Make the best of every opportunity that comes your way. Looking at the rope illustration and how long eternity is compared to our life here on earth, we need to make the best of this life so we can enjoy the afterlife. It is pointless, though, to dwell on the past. The past cannot be changed, but your future can change right now, right here. You can make this the day where you say, enough is enough. I will make the best of every situation. I will make the best of every opportunity to win souls for the kingdom. We must learn from our mistakes and past if we are to change our future. Dr. Jimmy Allen, former pastor of First Baptist Church, San Antonio, Texas, writes this brief little story called We Missed Him. He says, our chance to change things came and passed, and we did not know it was there. A dark-skinned little boy sat through Sunday school classes for 3 years at a Baptist church, but someone missed him. His name was Sirhan, and at age 24, he shot and killed Senator Robert Kennedy. In a welter of words and the shudder of grief throughout our nation, Dr. Allen says, the persistent thought keeps recurring, someone missed him. Missed opportunities are all too real in our own lives this morning. How many of us have said, we should have done this. I should have shared my story. I should have picked that person up today. I should have showed her the love of Jesus. I missed the chance to talk to my neighbor when he wanted to talk, and now it's too late. Paul is encouraging us to keep our lives uncluttered so that we can respond when the need arises, because kingdom opportunities can get squeezed out of overly tight schedules. The enemy will want us to think that being on lockdown means we cannot do anything. But remember, the enemy is a liar this morning. Remember, God is above COVID-19. Remember, God is wise. Remember, God knows where we are. Remember, God can work things out for our good and for His glory. So remember, lockdown does not stop God being God. This online platform has brought us into the many homes that were unreached. This lockdown gives us more time to reflect on God and how good He is and how we need to be closer to Him like never before. This lockdown gives us time to cook for that lonely senior who has no one in their bubble. This lockdown gives us time to call those that we've been neglecting because of our busy schedules. This lockdown gives us the opportunity to slow down, to reevaluate where we are in our walk with the Lord. This lockdown can become exactly what some of us need right now. I know there will be times of loneliness. I know there will be times even of boredom. I know there will be times we wish we could be in church together. And I know there will be times when we will say, I wish I could see and so. But remember, this is not long term. And remember, we can still make the best of this situation that we are in because we serve a God that knows everything and He is able to help us today. The scripture also tells us to understand what the will of God is. Many today seem to believe that it is impossible to fully know the will of God. They appear to think that if someone is not able to reveal God's will for their lives, then they will never know or understand it. Why is it such a problem in our day? Why do we see so many who appear to have no idea concerning the will of God for their lives? The main reason is a lack of diligence and concern on their part. God's will is available and it is understandable. However, we must look in the right places if we are to find and understand it. Talk show hosts, TV evangelists do not possess the will of God for your life. Neither does best-selling books or magazines. God's will is found in His Word. If you want to be wise concerning the will of God, seek His will within His Word. He will teach us how to live and maintain our lives. It provides instruction for our faith and Christian practice. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Finally, Paul is admonishing the people to be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk, he says, but be filled with the Spirit. If we are going to win souls for Christ, we are not going to do it by being like the sinner. We are going to win souls for Christ when we walk differently from the world. When we walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom, that is when the world will notice who we serve. Too many Christians want the world. We are not of this world. Drunkenness is a sin. Drinking is a sin. Too many lives have been wrecked because of one drink. Paul is also telling us not to associate with the ways of the world. This world, this whole scripture talks about being separate today. It talks about being people set apart. This was the last thing Paul talked about. And he finishes it by saying, be filled with the Spirit. And that goes on to tell us to give thanks to God, praise to God, sing to God. Who else has a song to sing? Who else has received that which we have? Who else is promised eternal life and the blessing of God? Surely if anyone ought to have a song within their hearts, it ought to be the church today. Do you possess a song of praise as you reflect on the goodness of God? Psalm 95:1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." It is much better to be filled with the Spirit and that our mouths be filled with the praise and thanksgiving of God. It is important that when we find ourselves with idle time, we redeem the time so that we do something for the Lord and something for our spiritual life. In closing, Pastor Jared can return. You have heard of the duck test. It says, if it looks like a duck, swims like a duck, quacks like a duck, then probably it is a duck. The test implies a person can identify an unknown subject by observing that subject's habitual characteristics. So, if your life looks like a Jesus follower, walks like a Jesus follower,
and sounds like a Jesus follower, then you probably are a Jesus follower. You see this rope that I have in my hand, and this piece of tape is how long our life is on this earth, and the rest of the rope is eternity. My challenge to you this morning is to make the best of this life that we are given. It is time for us as the church to set our focus on eternal things. Eternity is long. The only thing that you can bring with you to eternity is souls. So the next time we are annoyed because of an opportunity that comes our way, remember this piece of rope and how little this life is that we have here on this earth. And remember, we need to make the best of this because we only get one shot at it. You're listening today. You do not know who Jesus is. You're saying, Pastor, I see how long eternity is. And I see that this life is short. I see my need for Jesus. I encourage you to pray this prayer after me and ask Jesus into your life this morning. Right in your home, bow your head. Dear Jesus, I see the need for you today. Come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sin. Lord, I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. Make me whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. You prayed that prayer this morning. You've received Jesus in your life. I ask you today. We're going to sing this chorus, Make Me More Like Thee. In a world where it is easy to conform because of its darkness. In a world that is dark, in a world that is sinful, what this world needs today is not more of itself, but this world needs more of Jesus today. Surely you would agree that we are living in a difficult and evil day. Even these difficult times, we have an obligation and responsibility to the Lord. Are there areas in our life that need attention? Are we filled with the Spirit and walking in the ways of God? Thank you for listening this morning. God bless you. Pastor Jared is going to lead us in the song, Make Me More Like Thee.
Amen. We thank Pastor Grant for that tremendous ministry of God's Word today. And all of our hearts have been challenged, I'm sure, as we've listened and recognized that even in this lockdown, it does not prevent us from being the disciples Christ has called us to be. and that we can be an influence of salt and light in a society that is hurting and looking for someone to care and to love them. It's the message of the gospel. As we close our service today, we're going to sing the words, "In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock." We want you to join us again on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. for our Bible study and prayer time. And you're not going to want to miss it this week, as we're going to be listening to a story of a miracle that recently happened here at Deer Lake. A snowmobile accident, and how God directed and orchestrated every bit of that story. We're going to be interviewing some people and see how God once again answered our prayers. So that will be on Tuesday evening. And for our members, sometime soon we're going to be having another food drive for the Deer Lake Food Bank. And we will be announcing that through our member and adherence page. And when we will be able, through our used furniture ministry truck, be able to deliver these groceries to our food bank. God bless you. Let's sing this before we pray today. In times like these.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus.
we're so glad that you listened to our service today. And because of the restrictions, there could only be five here in the building at the same time. So our worship team had to leave and to let the preacher come in. We have one man operating the soundboard, the camera system, a lot of work. And I just want to say thank you to all those who were able to help today. We're praying that these restrictions will soon be lifted and we'll be able to have more air in our building. That is our prayer. And we're just believing God. We thank all of our congregation that have been so kind to us and understanding during this difficult time. We're trying to do the best we can with these services. And for all of the congregation that understand, we want to say thank you today. Let's pray, shall we? Dear loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. We come to you because he has accomplished for us salvation's plan. And now we stand before you as though we have never sinned. Many of us today have watched this service, and many are watching with heavy hearts. Many don't know what tomorrow holds and don't know what the future holds for many of us. But this thing we are assured of, as we've heard from the Word of God, that God is still on his throne. He has not forgotten nor forsaken his children. And he knows the beginning from the ending. And we can trust to the sovereignty of God. We're so thankful today that even in the midst of this difficult time, we can find the assurance that he loves us, he walks with us, and he cares for us. Now we pray for the strength of God's Spirit to rest upon all those that have listened, those who are discouraged and despondent in their homes right now, those who are living in fear with anxiety, those whose marriages are crumbling before their very eyes, those whose finances are finding a plummet, oh, and those who are suffering with mental illness right now. I pray, oh God, that you would visit, strengthen as they cry out to you. We now commit this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.
Oh.